Well, hello, everybody. It's that time. Yes, indeed. It is Thursday, and it is episode 15 of Gaslighting the Warfighter. And today is myself, and we have a great guest with you, with us today, that we're going to share with you a little later in the show here. Rosie and Mr. Leroy Torres are out celebrating an incredible, incredible win that came down from the Supreme Court yesterday, so they will not be joining us. So you got me for the next 30 minutes or so. And we got a couple things to talk about today, and we're really excited to share some information with you on a couple of different subjects that have been happening over the last couple of weeks since we last all saw each other. But again, as always, we thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in to Gaslighting the Warfighter and covering these subjects that are definitely really appropriate for our community, right? We're talking about toxic exposure on the show specifically, and to the legislation that is up on Capitol Hill, H.R. 3967, the Heath-Robinson Pact Act that is currently stalled in the Senate as we go into the 4th of July weekend and the recess that the Senate is taking for whatever reasons, I don't know. I mean, there seems to be a lot of work that needs to be happening in the Senate. Nobody should be taking any recesses, but you know, call me a concerned American. I don't know. But here we are as we continue to wait on the movement of that bill, which is very interesting. And but I want to hold off on that a little bit before we jump into that particular subject. But, over the last couple of days or last couple of weeks, rather, our HBOTs, our hyperbaric oxygen chambers have been being delivered to six veterans that we have already identified this year on our 12-veteran program of delivering these units to 12 veterans in need for 2022. In great partnership with Burn Pits 360, what we have done is we have sourced hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and we have identified individuals that are in great need of these things, right? As we continually talk about toxic exposure and our own health in the veteran community, and looking for alternative means that are more affordable for us out there, rather than relying on the VA that we know has been a continued problem, right? But I'm not bashing on the VA. They're actually trying to do a lot of things. It's our government, ladies and gentlemen, as I have learned over the years of doing this, is the biggest problem of it all and stalls everything. So, as we're seeing currently with the bill right now. But anyways, I digress. Right now, so our hyperbaric oxygen chamber therapy program we're delivering these programs to veterans all across the country. And this is something extraordinarily exciting for both of our organizations, Burn Pits 360 and the Gun Style Foundation, as we, try to find ways of delivering these modalities to veterans and getting more veterans involved in their own personal health. Right, especially when we're having conversations about PTS, TBI, and other related things that we're struggling with, from combat injuries, or even just military injuries in general. Right, what we've seen with the hyperbaric HBOT program is showing incredible advances into the veteran themselves, putting themselves into these chambers and, doing 30, 60, 80 dives, depending on the issues that the veteran is currently trying to work through. We're seeing great results, and that's why we believe that this is a great alternative method or an additional method, however you want to slice it, cut it, look at it. These are, again, just other means of you getting involved in your own personal medical health and staying on the forefront of, the things that we potentially have been exposed to. Because here's the news and the facts, ladies and gentlemen. All of us that have been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan and, several other states over the last 20 years, have been exposed to some bullshit one way, shape, or form, 100% of us. And there's a high percentage of all of us that will end up with some sort of debilitating, life-threatening, or life terminal cancer. It is our responsibility to make sure that, we understand this and that we are involved in our own personal health and that we are having great conversations with our primary care providers and getting them up to speed on the areas that we've been to, the things that we may have been exposed to, and just being more involved in your own personal health so that you can get ahead of the problem here. Because as we talk about H.R. 3967, this is a bill that corrects a lot of issues, but what we still need to be focused on is how are we involved in preventative medicine? How are we getting ahead of the problem? And how are we understanding the issues that are currently affecting us? And I think, our guest today is going to talk a little bit about some autoimmune issues that are running in parallel with the toxic exposures and the cancers that our veteran community is already experiencing. So, super excited about our program. And, if you want to learn more about it, you can go to the gruntstylefoundation.org, learn about the HBOT program. You can go to burnpits360.org. You can learn about it. Very similar. The same information is going to be served up there, as we were running this program through collaboration and the wonderful, wonderful help of Rosie and Leroy Torres, who, ladies and gentlemen, they just, as I mentioned earlier, come off an incredible victory with the Supreme Court ruling yesterday, Torres versus the Texas Public Department of Safety. The ruling 5-4 in the Torres family's favor, which ultimately provides the rights for veterans, right? Another huge veteran win to sue the state of their home of record in the event that there is a some form of malignment involved in their employment, right? And these are protections that are afforded to us under USERRA. However, there seem to be some loopholes that the United States Supreme Court has found in favor of the Torres family, saying, the veterans need better representation, and this allows for veterans to, that the states are no longer indemnified, and they're not afforded the protections of being sued by the individual, which I think is an incredible win for veterans all across this country. And incredible victory for us all, as well as the Torres family. So, they've been waiting a very long time for this ruling, and I think it's a great victory. And I hope that they're celebrating continuously because they have a lot to be celebrating right now, and a lot of work ahead, right, to continue to make sure that those wrongs have been corrected. Just wanted to take a moment there to share that news with everybody in regards to the SCOTUS opinions released yesterday. And then, jumping into where we're at with H.R. 3967, right? We've been talking about this for a very long time, and we've had some significant advances over the last, 3-4 months. And all of a sudden, as the bill is, ending cloture and moving into, going back to the House of Representatives for finalization, which would then lead it to the president's desk for signing into law, there was a snafu. Who knew that the the government would find a way to fuck shit up? Excuse my language, but at the last minute there was what was needed to be a unanimous vote. One particular senator, his name is Senator Toomey, through an objection, voted nay, identifying a procedural problem in regards to the vote, and continuing to talk about a budgeting issue, which, again, ladies and gentlemen, from the position in which I sit, I don't give a shit how much this bill costs. Right, if we want to sit here and have conversations about cost of a piece of legislation that actually is going to impact and save Americans' lives and American veterans' lives, how about we stop sending money all over the goddamn planet to places that just don't need it? These are conversations that our community is just not going to accept, and it's Toomey, do your damn job, get out of the way, let us put this bill through. It is right. Everybody says it is right. You said it is right in your own words. You're sitting here and having a conversation about financing, nonsense. It's nonsense. But here we are. With all the other activities that is happening within government right now, between all these other well-meaning and definitely important issues, this bill has been pushed back. We will not be addressed till after the 4th of July break. So we're expecting to get another bite at this on the 11th of July, where the Senate will close out a blue slip issue. And it's very confusing, right? So the issue now at hand, besides Toomey's objection, is that there's a financing issue where in the procedures of Congress, all financing has to originate in the House of Representatives. However, if an amendment is presented into a bill in the Senate, there is a process called blue slip where there's a process that allows for that to be accepted. And I could be messing this up to some degree because, again, politics is made to confuse everybody. At the end of the day, it's hard to navigate it. But this blue slip will allow the vote to continue and the process to continue in moving this bill along. And that's what we're anticipating here on the 11th of July. So stay involved. Make sure that you're continuing to push on your senators, right? Push on your representatives to say, let's get this done. Toomey, get out of the way. You're retiring. You're old news, brother. Like, you've done your job. Get out of the way. That's as simple as I can put it. Get out of the way, man. And with that being said, that's where we're at with H.R. 3967, and I hope to have better news after the 4th of July for you all. I'd like to introduce our very good friend, our guest for the day, as we talk about toxic exposure and other illnesses that are affecting our community. Mr. Brian Shumway, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Tim. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, right on. Now, what part of the country are you in, my friend?
I am in Dripping Springs, so just outside Austin, Texas.
Ah, there you go. The wonderful state of Texas. The wonderful state of Texas. And, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in high school during 9/11 and saw those towers fall and decided to join up. So I enlisted and got an education deferral and a ROTC scholarship. So went through the whole process, became an officer in the National Guard, and started my career in tanks. So as soon as I got out of armor school, there were no one around. So I took command of the rear detachment. And as soon as I got back, I actually volunteered to go to Iraq as an individual augmentee. Went to Iraq, came back, and then a couple of years later, I was actually getting a haircut. And the barber kind of commented, he said, "Hey man, you got some cuts above your ears." So right where the ears were connecting to the scalp, was just tiny little cuts, and didn't think anything of it. Eventually it kind of progressed and psoriasis popped up and then psoriatic arthritis. And here I am now dealing with the VA and trying to get service connection. So that's kind of the short of it.
Yeah, right on. So, welcome to the system. Oh man. Now, tanker in the Army, that's fantastic. An officer tanker, rather.
Yeah, for a little bit and before moving over to the recon side. So.
Okay, all right. Well, fantastic. What part of Iraq did you serve in?
I was primarily in Nasiriyah. So I don't know if anyone's been to Kab Adar or Talil Air Base, Ali Air Base. But when I got there, there was really no plan for base closure. So I got kind of voluntold to help develop that plan for southern Iraq. So we got to go all over Balad, Basra, Kalsu.
Okay. Oh, Camp Kalsu, what a dump.
Right?
Yeah, I'll never forget that place. I think it was 19 Alpha was the checkpoint there. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So you've had your own experiences, in Balad, Basra, a lot of these areas that had some of the largest burn pits in all of Iraq. Right. So do you associate some of the autoimmune issues that, you've been, in the conversations that we've been having, you're in hunt of nexus, right? Of where your situations are emanating from. Why is that important? Talk to us about that whole process that you're involved in right now.
Yeah. So I talked to my doctor and autoimmune is it's not well understood. So our immune system is very complex and it's very, it's important for us as, individuals. So what it does is it fights the disease causing germs like bacteria, viruses. It also recognizes and neutralizes harmful substances like toxins and other environmental things, but it detects and finds cells that are starting to change and turning into cancer. And it's a really big part of our initial defense against those cancers. So in talking to my doctor, I said, how did this happen? And he's like, well, there's kind of a holy trinity. There's a little bit of a genetic factor. There's an environmental trigger. And then they're seeing more and more evidence that post-traumatic stress or stress issues cause increased risk of developing autoimmune disease. So autoimmune disease itself isn't just like one thing. It's between 80 and 100 individual diseases, and a lot of the symptoms overlap. So it's a lot of things that we know about but may not associate with autoimmune, like psoriasis, type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. There's just so many different ways that our immune system can attack our bodies, and they just kind of manifest in different areas. So that kind of determines where you go to get help. So when I went to my dermatologist, they said, hey, here's some cream, just kind of put it on, knock it down. And it was, you know, every few days, and then it turned into every 2 days, and then it turned into every day.
Yeah.
And what I saw was I had what's called inverse psoriasis. So it was, you know, genitals, buttocks. I had some, you know, regular psoriasis on my head. And in talking to the doctors, they said, you know, hey, it's a skin issue. Here you go. So I didn't understand that it was autoimmune and that it was progressive, and that if it got worse, I really needed to address it before it turned into something else like psoriatic arthritis, which unfortunately 30% of people with psoriasis will go on to develop that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And you know, what the latency period, when from your exit of Iraq to first symptoms, you know, what was the time period there?
For me, it was about 2.5 years.
Okay.
And that was when I started to, got the skin above the ears, but I didn't really connect it or think it was a big deal and look to get help. I mean, you know, you're a common arms guy, you get it. You don't want to go to the doctor. I don't suck it up and drive on. It took another probably 4 or 5 years before it started to degrade, and it degraded rapidly. So I noticed, you know, kind of mental health changes before extra psoriasis involvement. So it seemed like depression, you know, anxiety, kind of those issues that I didn't really understand what was happening. And once you start getting involvement with psoriasis, I mean, your body is going overdrive, attacking your own cells, attacking your own self. Right. So the symptoms that came were like fatigue, kind of brain fog, some kind of joint stiffness and joint pain that I was just like, maybe I'm getting old. Am I working out too hard? You know, things that you can kind of justify away.
Right.
And I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here and to let folks in the community know that if you have any of these issues, like, you need to talk to your doctor immediately and have in the back of your mind autoimmune, because the same things that are in the burn pits that are causing cancer, dioxin, benzene, heavy metals, BPA, all of the crap that was burned and we know causes cancer, we also know causes autoimmune disease.
Right.
And unfortunately, with that, autoimmune disease increases your risk for cancer and also alters some of the ability to treat cancers. So they have to worry about, you know, some cancers you can kind of increase the immune response to help fight it. But for folks like us, that could, you know, cause more harm than good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, you and I connected because, you know, we share some similar symptoms, right? I'm, you know, very similar to the inverse psoriasis that you were having. You know, it's all, you know, coming up all over my body. And that started about 2 years ago. And how they were treating me was a ringworm, brother. I'm like, ringworm doesn't last this long, man. Like, I'm not rolling around on mats. I'm not in the gym touching things I shouldn't be touching. Like, you know, so I'm not doing any of that. So where the hell is this all coming from, right? Now it's degenerating into, you know, I've got my knees. Because some of the bigger areas that I've been dealing with are below the knee on my bilateral calves, right? And, you know, these are sizes of, you know, bigger than a half dollar. And you know, so it's now progressed into, you know, I'm getting joint pains, and, you know, hopefully not any type of you know, arthritis, because goddamn, I don't want to deal with that, man.
Yeah, it's bad. I would get to a doctor as soon as possible. And thing with rheumatologists is it takes like 4 to 6 months to get an appointment. Yeah. There really aren't that many of them, because autoimmune disease isn't very common in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was so, you know, backward roll that out, you know, my time in service. It's been 17 years since I left Iraq. Symptoms started showing up for me 15 years later, right? And you know, I associate it to the, you know, our uniforms being sprayed with permethrin, you know, to keep those pesky little Iraqi sand fleas away from you. But you know, I lived within tossing distance of a burn pit, and especially in Yusufiya. I mean, the living quarters there, my God, you know, walk 10 feet to the wag bag station, poop in a bag, and then like grenade throw that into the fucking 10 one story tall burn pit that's burning inside the compound. So it's like, you know, it's not a very hard leap for me to say that shit was not fucking healthy for us.
No, and they do have medications and treatments. Like, you can't cure an autoimmune disease like right. You can, you know, beat cancer. So we will have this for the rest of our lives, but it's just a matter of controlling the symptoms. Yeah. And they've gotten pretty good with the drugs. So unfortunately, those drugs have some side effects. So they tend to start with DMARDs and kind of cancer drugs like methotrexate. And fortunately for me, my rheumatologist got me right on a biologic. And the pain was gone the next day. The psoriasis cleared up across the entire body within a week. It was amazing. But now I'm immunocompromised for the rest of my life. So in getting blood tests, you can kind of see your white blood cell count just kind of decrease.
Yeah. And that's the story, you know, constantly. And that's something that all of us need to be, you know, up to speed on is, you know, consistently getting your blood checked, right? Understanding how your body works, right? So that you can get a baseline and you start understanding patterns. You know, because to your point, like I'm very in tune with that, right? Through my primary care provider, you know, seeing all my friends dying from this, and there's starting a pattern is starting to emerge, and I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned about my health, right? And you know, as we all should be, and you know, and we're all struggling with this in some shape, way, or form. So. You know, I think the autoimmune conversation is absolutely important because there's probably more people that can identify with this right now than probably some of the extremes of cancer, right? Some of those terminal cancers that are wiping out our community. So I think this is an extraordinary time to have this conversation. And you know, so how can we get more involved for our listeners out there, like? You know, identifying this with and you know, getting that preventative care, Brian.
Yeah. So the VA, I mean, they're not very good at determining autoimmune. So when I went to my CMP exam, like for example, they looked at my blood work and they took X-rays of my fingers and they said, you don't have arthritis. You have strains in your hands, strains on all your joints, even though I had a diagnosis and I was on this extremely high risk medication. So don't count on the VA or your doctor to do it for you. You have to kind of advocate for yourself and know that if you were exposed to burn pits, if you're exposed to toxins, particularly for females, our women veterans are at much greater risk than we are for developing this, talk to your doctors and ask for tests and let them know what symptoms you have and don't let them kind of gaslight you and tell you that it's all in your head or your blood work's fine or we don't see any way to see this because autoimmune disease, you can't oftentimes there is no one test. Like they can't do an X-ray and say, yep, they're like cancer, there's cancer. But autoimmune is kind of more, it's pain, it's swelling, it's stiffness, it's things that aren't black and white. So really advocate for yourself and make sure that you let your doctors know that you're concerned about potential autoimmune disease, because it really is the kind of first step towards cancer. When they take down your defenses against cancer, it allows it to more easily kind of walk on through the gate, you know, take hold and spread really unopposed.
Right. Absolutely. Now, you know, for people that want to, you know, start researching on their own and get a better understanding of the autoimmune and how it affects the body, you know, and you know, do their own research, where would be a great place for people to start looking?
Yeah, so there are several organizations. I think the biggest one is the Autoimmune Association, and they do fund research. They have advocacy. You know, they look for donations and folks to volunteer and get involved. And I think there's a really great opportunity for something like Burn Pits 360 to partner with someone like the Autoimmune Association, because our brothers and sisters from the 9/11 first responders are experiencing the same things. And unfortunately, I mean, I know we got the legislation passed and funded, and John had to go to Congress and shame an empty house to kind of make sure that our they're taken care of. But one thing that I'm not hearing when I hear, you know, cancer and all the horrible effects from burn pits is autoimmune disease. And I think those two go hand in hand and they really help each other out. So we're not even tracking autoimmune disease for our 9/11 first responders. It's not part of the survey. I mean, I think you know that the VA's their registry is kind of insufficient. Like when I fill it out, I can't update my own information to let them know that I have an autoimmune disease now. But really just Google, go to Google, find these associations, find these groups, and get information for yourself, because it's all out there. And it's very clear. There's lots of new studies that are being done, but there's a lot more that needs to be done. And I'm hoping that we can, you know, once we get that 50 meter target of cancer squared away, we can kind of turn our focus and join forces and really attack autoimmune disease. Cause I think it's going to be the next big issue that's just kind of simmering below the surface right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with you, right? Speaking from somebody that is, you know, having my own issues with it right now. Yeah, you know, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But you know, such is the life of the American veteran, right? Being stuffed into a corner, diseased and forgotten about.
Yes. Yeah. So. And it takes about, you know, according to the Autoimmune Disease Association, it takes 4.5 years on average, and they see an average of 4 doctors to get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And again, you can have multiple autoimmune diseases. So it's a long-term issue where it might take 10, 15 years to show up and then another 5, 10 years to get a real diagnosis.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree. And again, I think a lot of it, you know, as much as I communicated, and I'll speak to my specific problem, I have no issue sharing. You know, I think I, as much as I tried to communicate to my primary care provider, you know, the circumstances and the environments in which, you know, I was exposed to, you know, it was still an uphill type of conversation with them to say, this is not ringworm. Why are you treating me for ringworm? This is not fungal. You know, this is not any of that. To the point where I finally, you know, had gone outside of my primary care provider service to a very specific place that is more for like cosmetic surgeries, right? And had some my skin looked at there. I had some samples taken from the skin itself, and that's where it was determined that I have a very advanced form of psoriasis. Like, why? I don't understand why I needed to go that far into getting that, right? And going and navigating the system myself, when, you know, we all want to trust our doctors. We all want to believe that they are the individuals that have the knowledge. That's why they have MD next to their name, right? But, you know, in these particular issues, it seems like you're having to navigate the system yourself to find the answers that you're looking for. Because, you know, for whatever reasons, I don't want to be presumptuous or assume.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's our community. We're at risk, at high risk because of the prevalence of post-traumatic stress and stress issues. We're at a higher risk because of our exposure to just a litany of chemicals, both, you know, from burn pits, like I said, on our uniforms, the permethrin, the flame retardant for the uniforms, all of those things really have a big impact on our immune system and our health. And that kind of really determines what the next, you know, 10 to 20 years of our lives are going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brian, it is definitely a subject worth speaking to again. And I hope to have you on the show and continue to educate and inform as many people as we possibly can on this particular segment of toxic exposure. Because, you know, the more that we can educate and inform people, the more power you have as an individual to have the right conversations with your primary care provider. And, you know, in most of these conversations that we're having, they could be life-saving conversations. So, you know, I don't want to diminish the importance of these conversations at all by, you know, the frustrations of my own personal experiences. I'm only sharing them because, you know, I'm somebody that's involved in it, and, you know, involved from, you know, being partnered with some incredible people to help move this along, but also as somebody that this is affecting me personally. And, you know, I have children. My son just went to the Navy, and I want this shit happening to him. And so that's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. So, Brian, I appreciate you. I appreciate your involvement in the conversation here and the fight for veterans and their health. Thank you for joining us today, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And I really appreciate, you know, the Grunt Style and Grunt Style Foundation and Burn Pits 360 for really bringing this out into the light in front of our legislators and our media. It's really important to talk about and keep fighting. And I really appreciate all that you've done for this community. So thank you. And thank you, Rosie and Leroy and everyone involved. Appreciate it.
All right, Brian. Well, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude our episode of Gaslighting the Warfighter, number 15. It's the end of June. So we will see you again at the end of July, maybe sooner if we have more information to share on HR 3967, post the 11th of July. Until then, enjoy your freedom. Enjoy your independence. This weekend is going to be amazing for all of us. We all, it's number 248 years of our liberty and freedom. So enjoy it, live it, love it, and we'll see you all again very soon. Remember, wash your stinking hands, change your socks, and be kind to one another.